Prof, the intention today was to talk to you about future projections of COVID-19, and here's hoping everything here won't be finished.
Yeah, I often get asked that, where do we go from here? What's going to happen in the future? How long is this epidemic going to last? And so on. Well, you know, quite honestly, the bottom line is, of course, we don't know, because nobody's a prophet, and in fact, nobody's totally an expert in the, everybody's learning. But a large amount, an enormous amount of information has come, particularly from outbreaks in Europe and the United States. And we can learn a lot from that. But perhaps the most commonly, the most common vehicle to try and look into the future is modeling. Now, modeling works reasonably well for short term, but then it starts tailing off when it gets to long term. And of course, any model is only as good as the data that you put into it. And there's still a lot of uncertainties of the data that goes into it. But through short-term modeling, there are two kind of scenarios which have been painted. The one is a peak of this. Remember, we're on the upward trajectory of the epidemic. The one is that it'll peak around July, August, and the other is that it's going to peak along August, September, and then tail off towards to the rest of the year. Of course, there are a number of questions which have been asked. One of them is seasonality. Will the winter season make it worse? Well, you know, if you look at the influenza pandemics, they seem to have been independent of season. Now, there were 8 pandemics of influenza in the last, 2 centuries. 2 started in winter, 3 in spring, 1 in summer, 2 in autumn. So sort of independent of the weather. However, on the other hand, we know that it is a respiratory spread virus, and respiratory spread viruses are transmitted more readily in the winter season. So we may have a worse than normal expect, shall I say, epidemic because of the winter season. But at this stage, it is a bit of a question mark. The one thing, of course, once this epidemic does come down, as we said from the models, maybe towards the a couple of months from now, in September, October, will there be a second wave? And this is what we often ask, second waves and third waves.
One
indication that we will have a second wave is when we look at the population immunity, how many people that, and the population-wise, who have been infected retain immunity to the virus. And where they've done these studies, for example, in big epidemics in the United Kingdom and China and so on, it's a surprisingly small number of people, small percentage of people that have these protective antibodies, something like about 10, 15, 20%. So the great majority still appear to be susceptible. And the virus is going nowhere. It's still going to be around. And that will be responsible for a second wave and probably a third wave. Obviously, what we're all looking for, the game changer, the holy grail, is going to be a vaccine. And we're not really going to get a vaccine, certainly not this year. We're going to be well into next year. There's going to be a safe, effective, readily available vaccine. Now, if we look at the long term, how these viruses behave, you look at the other coronaviruses, and I think I mentioned in a previous show that there are at least 4 coronaviruses which cause a relatively trivial disease. They call a certain percentage of the common cold. Now, those coronaviruses have been around in humans, of course, for millennia.
Yeah.
And maybe this particular coronavirus, because it's now been introduced into the human population, will eventually, after 2 or 3 waves, or after a vaccine comes about, will eventually become a very much tamer virus and will then become one of the common cold viruses. And maybe this is what originally happened hundreds of thousands of years ago with those 4 tame coronaviruses. First introduced into humans, cause a bad disease, a pandemic, and then become tame. And if you look at influenza, the mother of all pandemics, the Spanish
flu, yeah.
That in 1918, 1919 caused a terrible pandemic. But then that particular strain of influenza, H1N1, then became quite a tame virus. In fact, it is now one of our common influenza strains, causing a relatively mild influenza illness.
Wow, Prof, that's interesting. So we can only hope.
Yeah, and be patient.
Wait and be patient. You heard it from the Prof himself. Prof, it's 4:30. We're going to leave it there. And I will chat to you same time tomorrow.
Yeah, great. Thanks, Simon.